Welcome to the Happy Nervous System Podcast. I'm your host, Kendra Delahook. What we know about mental health is rapidly changing, and I help you stay up to date on the major paradigm shifts. From dating to love to parenting, get ready to learn about your body, regulate your nervous system, and improve your life and relationships with ease. Let's jump in. Hi there, this is Kendra Delahook, host of the Happy Nervous System Podcast. Really glad you are here today. So I started this podcast because I really believe it's important that we learn to have happier nervous systems. And it's not that we need a perfect nervous system. We don't need a happy nervous system all the time. But we need some more balance. In my 6+ years of experience working with therapists and clients and professional setting, we just have too much stress on our plates. And I've worked with a lot of kids as well. And it's kind of sad to see what they're up against. And so really, that's my why behind starting this podcast and my why behind building Roya, an online platform to help others learn about their nervous system and their body. It's to mitigate this. It's to fight back and say, no, we're not going to get used to this higher level of stress. We can bring some more ease, some more joy to our nervous system. So today's topic, it's all about pleasure and really why it's so powerful and why we need more of it. Now, this word is oftentimes used in more conservative and religious communities, and even in a lot of texts. And so it can bring up a lot of feelings, negative feelings, or maybe some tough memories for individuals. So at the end, I'll talk about strategies and some ideas for how you can explore your own definition of pleasure. So let's get into it. I want to start by saying I can truly make the argument that everything out there could be either good or bad for you. Whether it's a food, a activity, a person, a situation, an event, an experience, a habit, it depends. It depends on how you're doing, who you're with, the context, how your body's feeling. You and I could sit down and really go through everything in this life, and we can probably make an argument on either side that it could be good or it could be bad. And the reason for that is because it depends. Now, we will get into talking about habits, but I want to provide some examples of this concept. So let's talk about a hot shower. This one cracks me up because I hear both sides all the time. So a hot shower can, for one person, it can be totally relaxing and a moment of self-care to end a long day. And for someone else, they've heard that a hot shower can completely dry out your skin and throw off the pH balance of your skin and cause issues. And so the same experience will land very differently in two people based on their experiences and what they know about hot water. Another example is having a slice of your favorite cake. So for one person, eating this slice of cake can be a moment of sensory heaven. They enjoy every bite. They're focused on the cake. They stop when they've had enough, and it's just such an enjoyable and pleasurable experience. While someone else who's eating their very favorite piece of cake may have a long history of either an eating disorder or many, many, many memories of other people making comments about eating cake, or maybe they've been on diets where cake wasn't allowed. And so while they're eating this cake, they're actually having a slight stress response. And that cues shame and guilt. So here are two people doing the same exact thing, and once again, their own history and memories and experiences make up a very, very different outcome. And we also know with food, we digest food very, very differently based on the state of our nervous system. So if we're in a stress response, we actually have a lot of research now saying that we do not digest food as well. You can eat the most nutrient-dense salad or the most delicious bowl full of macronutrients, micronutrients, probiotics, prebiotics. But if your body is in a state of anxiety, those vegetables could be really, really difficult to break down, and it could cause a lot of stomach pain, possibly gas, and then you don't even absorb the nutrients that come from the bowl. So exercise, and we do talk about exercise a lot on this podcast because the same exercise, let's take going for a jog, for example, two people, different body types, different histories, across the board, going for the same distance jog can land so differently in both of their bodies. So for one person, it may be a very enjoyable, brief, healthy experience where they feel energized after, they're not in pain. And for someone else who, again, maybe has a history of an eating disorder or views exercise as a way to combat what they're eating, they may be in a state of guilt and stress, and this run, they don't even enjoy running. And the stress actually starts to cause physical pain in their joints. And then afterwards, they're just feeling even more anxious because it's just too big of a hit on their nervous system. And finally, one more example of this. I always talk about humor as a personality trait. I freaking love humor. I think it's so important to be able to laugh and to be funny and to make light of things. But humor can also be an avoidance strategy for people who are avoiding facing difficult feelings or situations. So something good can be something bad and vice versa. The reason I'm sharing these examples is because saying the benefits to the risks of anything is not the thing that matters. And we all know and we all hear all the time about the risks and benefits to things. It's all over social media. It's on the news. It's on the back of a bottle. It's coming from your mother-in-law. It's coming from all directions. But we need to take it a step further and talk about it's the state of your nervous system while doing the thing. That is the most important factor. And the state of your nervous system will predict the outcome of whatever the thing is that you are doing. Hopefully this makes sense. I get really excited talking about this because I don't think people understand how important this is. This is why pleasure is crucial. It's not a luxury. It's not something you deserve. It is critical to positive, strong, hearty mental health. When we focus on pleasure, we relax and we actually shift into our parasympathetic nervous system. So it helps our mind and our body register safety and relax and remember that we're safe. This can be very helpful throughout a day, a busy day or a day where you have a lot of stressful events. So again, there's a misconception that pleasure is this thing that we have to deserve and we have to work towards, and it's not okay to feel pleasure throughout the day. But I am making the argument that it's actually essential. It is your right to experience pleasure, and it helps us feel safe and remember that we're safe. I even want to take this one step farther, and I know this might be controversial, but I want to make the argument that if self-care doesn't feel enjoyable or pleasurable, it's not really self-care. And I don't mean that everything should feel good, because that is not realistic. And the truth is, sometimes we need to just do something uncomfortable for our overall well-being. But the problem is, we get these messages all the time to just push through the pain and make sacrifices and use willpower. So I don't think we need any more reminders that discomfort is part of the process. I think we need endless reminders that pleasure should equally be a part of the process. So hopefully I've convinced you. I'm curious, you know, where your mind is going right now listening to these messages. Pleasure is a big topic. And again, it brings up so many things for different people. But I want to talk about a few strategies that you can begin to practice on your own. And these are really coming from the field of somatic psychotherapies. So somatic strategies involve the body. Soma is the body, so of the body. And again, the reason why pleasure is so powerful is because it shifts and impacts the state of our autonomic nervous system. So let's talk about strategy number one to add more pleasure in your life. Pleasure does not need to be simply connected to, I think, what most people would say, like sin or extreme behavior, such as eating an entire carton of ice cream or anything related to sex or going to an amusement parks. I think we think of the extremes with pleasure, but this first strategy, I actually want you to practice bringing pleasure into everyday life habits. So I challenge you to see if you can focus on what is not going wrong. So it's not just focusing on what's going right. I actually want you to notice in your environment, and you can even do this right now while listening to this episode, what is not going wrong. You're going to notice the tiny things, like I'm not killing my plant. It's growing. I don't have a headache today. I had one yesterday. I don't have a stomach ache. My digestion is actually feeling okay. Or maybe you're in the car with your kids and they're actually getting along. This is a very, very brief and quick practice of pleasure. And it's not a ton of pleasure, but you're training your brain to notice the good, and good turns into pleasure. The second strategy is actually focusing on what feels good or pleasurable. And this, again, you can bring into everyday activities, such as doing the dishes, brushing your teeth, putting on your clothes, anything you're doing that is involving your sensory system, you can actually be more effective and make more use of your time by noticing the pleasure. So putting on a soft shirt or a super cozy sweater, instead of throwing it on in the same amount of time, see if you can really feel how good it feels sliding down on your skin. Or maybe you just very briefly use your fingers to feel the texture of your clothes. You can also do this while getting into bed, maybe cuddling next to your partner with your kids. It's the little things. And then also while doing the dishes, are you even noticing the temperature of the water? We get used to just burning our fingers off. We're not even noticing. That's just not comfortable. What are you doing with your feet while you're washing the dishes? Could you possibly start like maybe moving your ankles around or standing in a different posture that feels better for your spine? Or even brushing your teeth. What are you doing with your free hand while you're brushing your teeth? Are you breathing? How hard are you brushing your teeth? Can you brush your teeth in a way that is more loving and just feels better for your mouth? So you can see this does not involve just balling out on, you know, I don't know why I always think of ice cream when I think of pleasure. Maybe that's because it's my favorite food. But pleasure has a place throughout your entire day. And I'm hoping I'm convincing you of this. The third strategy is really to explore your relationship to pleasure. I do recommend doing this with a therapist or professional just because they are trained to really guide you through this process. And it's really helpful to have someone with an outside perspective to guide and walk with you through this process. But if you're doing this on your own, maybe you can journal about these questions. What first comes to mind when you think of the word pleasure? Does it register as a dirty word? And when you work with a somatic therapist, they actually help you track if there's any activation in your nervous system. So really, you can think of the word pleasure and track what's happening on the inside of your body. So you might notice your gut kind of clenches or your hands get warm, your body gets stiff. Our bodies are very wise and will send us messages if a word or a hobby or activity doesn't feel safe to us. And the reason why somatic therapy is so powerful is because you don't have to be stuck or a victim to this stress response. You can actually work through it so that whatever it is, in this case, pleasure, no longer registers as a threat in your system. And finally, beware of guilt or shame. These are very, very common emotions associated with receiving pleasure, experiencing pleasure. And today's episode, we're really talking about the very, very easy, small ways to experience pleasure, but changing your relationship in the small ways directly impacts the big ways. So giving and receiving sexually, cooking, eating, more of the more common ways we think of pleasure. So you don't have to wait to tackle this in the main ways, but I hope I gave you some ideas to start to integrate this in your everyday life. And just a final reminder that your body is just needing to simply recognize that it is okay to indulge. It is okay to slow down, to savor, to enjoy. And in fact, it is your birthright to do so. I hope this gave you some ideas. I'd love to hear from you over on Instagram at roya.wellness. And thanks for listening. I will see you next week.